Today is a beautiful day, like spring outside.
今天的天气很好，好像春天一样。
You wonder what happened to winter this year.
不知道今年的冷天到哪儿去了。
Well, we don't mind if the winter doesn't come.
我们不介意没有冷天也不要紧。
But the winter is almost over. We're at the end of January.
在一月尾的时候，冷天差不多已经到尾声了。
But one thing significant is we don't know what will happen in February.
问题就是我们不知道二月份有什么事发生。
Some people say that the winter we didn't get will come back with full force in February.
有的说我们暂时还没有冷天，可能二月份可能来的还要强烈。
We never know what the future holds, do we?
我们不知道将来会带给我们什么。
Now, some brothers and sisters in the church have asked me to talk about the future.
有些教会的弟兄姊妹想我讲一些关于末世的事。
将来的事。
将来的事。
Yeah. And we are always, to some extent, curious about the future.
其实我们每个人对将来是好奇的。
But for me, speaking on a subject like this, we need to have more than curiosity.
对我来说，要讲到这个主题，是不单只有好奇的心。
Is it really important for us?
主要就是对我们是不是很重要呢？
I only like to talk about important things.
我将要讲一些重要的事。
But some subjects are not important to us because we don't have a need.
有的主题对我们并不重要，因为对我们没有那个需要。
I mean, if you have a very good life,
假如你的生活是非常优秀的，
your income is good,
你的收入很好，
your work is satisfying,
你的工作也使你满足，
and you have things to look forward to in this life,
你就很容易对这个现在的世界，现在的生命有一个盼望。
Some people looking forward to marriage,
有的很想望就是结婚。
Some people looking forward to maybe they will have a baby, you know, before too long.
有的很可想快有一个小婴孩啊。
And some are going to get their diploma soon for whatever degree you are going to get.
有的可能快毕业了，可以拿到你们的文凭。
And if Jesus comes,
假如主耶稣来。
It ruined all your nice plans, doesn't it?
就使得你所有的计划都中断了。
At least that's what you worry about.
这可能是你的担忧。
I mean, can you imagine you got raptured and what happened to your baby?
那你想，假如主来提你了，升仙了，你的孩子怎么办呢？
If the Lord Jesus comes, what happened to your wedding?
那假如主耶稣来，你的婚礼又怎么了？
And all this wonderful life ahead of you suddenly vanished into thin air, literally.
那你前面很好的很奇妙的生活就好像消失了。
And you were just going to get your doctoral diploma and boom, you're gone. I mean, what happened to your doctoral diploma?
那你刚要得到你的博士文凭，那结果好像又到哪儿去了呢？
And nobody is going to call you doctor this and that anymore because it doesn't matter anymore.
那没有人再称呼你某某博士了。
So who wants to talk about the coming of Jesus? Let's forget it.
谁要讲到主耶稣的再来呢？把它忘掉就算了。
We see this message, as it was in the New Testament, speaks to a people who are in very different circumstances.
在新约的时期，这个信息对那些听的人是好不一样的情况。
I think for many people in China, this message will speak to their heart.
我想对现在在大陆的中国人，可能这个信息有不一样的效果。
If you have just been sentenced to 20 years hard labor, you have something to look forward to when the Lord's coming.
假如你刚被判刑到劳改20年，那你对主的再来肯定有很大的盼望。
If you walked into the doctor's office and he said, "I'm sorry to tell you, you got 2 years to live. Your cancer is terminal. You got something to look forward to when the Lord's coming."
假如你到医生的诊所里面，他告诉你。你只有2年的生命了，因为你患了癌症，那你才有真正的要有东西使得你有盼望。
If you live a life in which you don't know whether you're going to have another meal, and how soon that meal will be, when you live in hunger and thirst, literally, physically, you got something to look forward to.
假如你不知道你下一餐的饭是哪儿来，你不知道什么时候有的吃有的喝，那肯定你对你的生命也想有一个很大实际上的盼望。
Do you see what I'm getting at?
那你知道我在讲的是什么呢？
The coming of Jesus is something that people look forward to if there is a need.
主耶稣的再来对那些有需要的人来说是实在是很渴望的。
Now we in Canada, who needs Jesus to come again?
我们在加拿大谁需要主耶稣的再来呢？
We got everything you want.
你所需要的都可以拥有了。
I mean, you just bought a new, nice new house and Jesus comes and when you're going to enjoy your house, it's gone.
假如你买了一个新的房子，主耶稣快来了，你怎么能够享受你新的房子呢？
And you ordered your new car.
那你也定了要购买一个新的汽车。
And you're driving, sitting behind that wheel. Oh, so beautiful in the air conditioning, everything. Oh, so lovely.
那你坐在那个汽车里面要开车，也有空调。你不是很享受吗？
Jesus comes and what did you spend $30,000 for?
那主耶稣也快来了，你出了三万去买那个车子干什么呢？
Everything gone.
什么都没有了。
You see what I'm getting at?
你知道我在讲的什么呢？
The coming of Jesus speaks to some and others they don't want to hear it.
主耶稣的再来对某些人来说是很渴望的，可是对另外一些就不要听了。
In fact, in China, it's even illegal to talk about the coming of Jesus.
在大陆来说，讲到主耶稣的再临，其实是犯法的。
Because if Jesus comes, what happens to the dreams of the present state?
假如主耶稣再来，那现在这个政治的梦想会变成什么呢？
What's going to happen to this government in power? They lost all their power. Everything's gone.
那现在的政权他们将来会失去了。
And what happens to the Sanxia, the great three gorges electric power projects? Everything gone.
那三峡那边的那个叫什么
水电发电
是吧，会变成什么呢？
All this work there, we visited the place just about a year ago.
我们一年前到那边去看过。
Of course, for those poor people who lose their homes, I think those are quite happy if Jesus comes. They don't know where they're supposed to go now.
对那些贫穷的人，他们失去他们的家乡的时候，他们当然，假如听到主耶稣的再来，有很大的盼望。
Over 1 million people will be displaced by the rising water.
有100万的人就给这样子的水，就把他们的家乡都冲掉了。
There are generations they lived in this home. It may not be much, but it's their home.
他们世世代代都住在那儿，无论是多贫穷，那个到底是他们的家乡。
Now the government gives them money and says, "Go find yourself somewhere else to live."
那现在政府给他们钱，就叫他们到别处去找地方住了。
Otherwise, you move up in the mountain to that block of concrete houses up there.
不然你就到山上那个竹林的高楼那边去找地方住。
And so many of them are left wandering around China. Some go to Beijing. Some go to Guangzhou looking for jobs and looking for somewhere to live.
所以很多就在到处游荡，找地方，到北京、广东去找工作去。
And what about you?
那你又怎么呢？
Do you really want to know about Jesus coming?
你真的要知道主耶稣的再临吗？
Right now, no. To be honest, no.
以现在来说，忠诚的来说，可能就是不想。
So what's the need?
有什么需要呢？
You're doing nicely right now, are you not?
一切不是很顺利吗？
In this wonderful life in Canada, we don't need Jesus to come. No, thank you very much.
加拿大舒舒服服的，我不需要主耶稣再来了。
At least if Jesus has to come, give me another 30 years. And when I'm old and ready to go, then you come.
假如主耶稣再来，或者给我再活的30年，到那个时候你来，我可能已经有点准备了。
So this message in the New Testament about Jesus coming,is for the suffering, for the persecuted, but not for the well-to-do.
所以这个信息在新约来说是对那些有需要贫穷的人，不是没需要的人来讲的。
But let me tell you something else about prophecy in the Bible.
不过让我告诉你圣经的预言是怎么的回事。
All this is going to change in Canada.
这一切就算在加拿大来说也会改变。
That all these good times will suddenly disappear.
这些好像好的时光都会消失。
Oh yes, things change in the world.
是啊，世界上的事会改变。
And a foretaste of that we already got on September the 11th. What can happen?
在911发生的时候，我们已经有尝试过那个可能性。
Two planes hit the two buildings in New York.
两架大的飞机就冲撞在纽约两个高楼。
And one hit the Pentagon, which doesn't bother us very much.
一个就冲撞 Pentagon, 虽然对我们好像是不是很有关的事。
And over 4 months, and the stock market cannot get back to normal anymore.
现在过了4个月，股票还不能增长多少。
So if you invested your money in the stocks, I'm sure you looked at it and said, when is it going to get back to where it was before?
假如你看你股票的你就知道还不知道有多久才可以慢慢的恢复。
I mean, it's just two planes hit two buildings. Why do we have to have the whole economy coming down?
是不是只有两家飞机撞两栋楼就搞得世界的经济到这个状况呢？
Now think of something on a bigger scale than that.
那你想想更重大广阔的事件。
And your stocks and shares will be in real trouble.
那你的股票的情况会更糟了。
The whole standard of living comes down.
整个生活的水准就会降低了。
You see, it doesn't take very much to bring this whole system down.
假如要是整个制度降低的时候，所要发生的事不一定是要很多很大。
You know, one plane, one of those planes was designed to hit the White House, as you know, and kill the president.
你知道那两架飞机，其中一架本来是应该到白宫去。
哦，4架飞机。
哦，是。
嗯。
其中一架是。
That one was supposed to hit the White House.
本来是要击打白宫的。
Try to imagine a little bit. What if they succeeded?
你试想，假如他们成功了，会有什么事发生呢？
What if they killed the president and destroyed the White House? Can you imagine? I don't think most people stop to think of it. What would have happened then?
假如他们真的成功了，可以毁坏白宫，又把总统杀掉了，那将会有什么事发生呢？
The whole America, you know how much trouble it was to elect President Bush?
你知道要选布什总统的多麻烦呢？
Wow, that was a big problem, wasn't it? And now he's killed, and we're going to start this process all over again. Oh, it boggles the mind. What will happen then?
你知道上次选举的时候多麻烦？假如他真的被杀了，现在又要重复再选过一个总统。
Of course, the vice president stepped in with his heart trouble.
可能副总统以他有心脏病的还可以要顶住了。
Maybe the very fact he suddenly becomes president will finish him off as well.
假如他忽然成为总统，可能又把他吓死了。
Anyway, we can't imagine what would have happened.
我们实在不可以想象会什么事情发生。
Only 4 planes.
只有4辆飞机。
You know how many planes went to bomb Europe in the Second World War from the United Kingdom?
在第二次世界大战的时候，从英国有多少飞机去攻打欧洲呢？
In one flight going out would be hundreds of planes going out to bomb. And here we have 4 planes that could bring this kind of chaos to a nation.
那个时候单单一次的攻击可能有几百的飞机出发，现在我们讲的只是4辆飞机。
And 4 planes are not even armed passenger planes.
这4辆也是一般旅客的飞机，也不是军机。
So, my dear ones, you don't think you need Jesus to come now. I agree. Who needs Jesus to come now?
亲爱的弟兄姐妹们，我也知道你们可能不想要，主耶稣现在再来，我在想，到底谁要呢？
Your health is good, your future is bright. Who needs Jesus?
你有好的健康，将来也有盼望，谁要主耶稣再来呢？
For that matter, who needs salvation? You to save from what?
那其实谁需要救恩呢？是救你脱离什么呢？
As for sin, well, you're a decent guy. I mean, you don't kill anybody, you don't rob anybody.Who needs Jesus to save me from what sin?
假如说要救你脱离罪，那有什么罪呢？你又不抢，又不偷。
I'm much nicer than that Christian who works with me in the office.
那可能我比那个在 从公司里面做 干活的那个基督徒还要好。
I agree that Christians need to be saved, but not me.
我知道基督徒是应该要被拯救的，可能我不需要。
But as I say again, the Bible tells us that all this is going to change.
就是我刚才说的，圣经告诉我们这一切就会改变。
The economy will see horrible things happening to it.
经济就会碰到一些很大的灾难。
When you look at the book of Revelation, it speaks of awful things happening on a global scale.
当你看启示录的时候，你就知道将来发生的事会影响到整个世界。
So now I will just try briefly, because we have only a short time, to talk about some of these things.
时间不多，我就简单的讲一些有关这一方面的事。
I want to first mention two principles about prophecy.
我要首先讲到预言的两个原则。
So that we can understand how prophecy works.
让我们就能够明白预言是怎么一回事。
The first thing we need to understand about prophecy is that the prophet is describing the indescribable.
首先要知道的就是先知是在描写一些是不能描写的事。
What do I mean by this?
我的意思是什么呢？
The prophet is looking at something in the far future.
先知是在看着一些是将来很遥远的事。
But he can't even understand.
他也不能明白。
So he doesn't know what he is looking at.
他不知道他在看的是什么。
And then he has to describe the indescribable to somebody who doesn't have a clue what you're talking about.
那他是要描写一些是很难描写，不能描写的东西给一些看不见的人来。
Now, if you want to understand what I'm saying, just look at the book of Revelation and see if you understand two sentences of it.
那你要知道我说的是什么，你看看启示录就知道我在讲的是什么了。
You open the book of Revelation, you say, what is he talking about?
那你打开启示录的时候，你就说啊，他到底在讲什么呢？
So that's the first principle of prophecy. He is trying to describe the undescribable.
这就是预言的第一个原则，它就是在描写一些是不能描写的事。
Let me give you an example.
我给你一个例子。
From present life.
就以现在的生活来说。
Suppose you go into the jungle and you meet some savages who live at the Stone Age level.
比如你到一个丛林去，碰到一些野蛮的人，他们好像是在石器时代的人。
And you say to them,You know, there is a thing that flies in the air, metal box, very hard and heavy. It flies in the air and carries 300 people and flies halfway around the world. And he looks at you and thinks, this guy is crazy.
那假如你描写给他看，听啊、哦，有一个铁做的大的一个箱子一样的东西，可以在天空上飞，可以坐300多个人，可以飞半个地球那么远。他不知道你在讲什么。
I mean, if I climb on the tree and try to fly and jump down, I break my neck, right?
假如我爬到树上去飞下来，我肯定会弄断我的颈椎。
So I say, let's be reasonable. Let's don't talk nonsense, okay? No metal can ever get in the air.
那他就会说，你讲一些合理的东西吧。你讲的什么铁的箱子和的怎么可以飞呢？
And now you're telling me 300 people sit in this thing and fly halfway around the world. I can't even get across the river. And you want to get halfway across the world with this...Talk some sense, all right? Get down to earth for a change.
那你还要告诉我可以300多人坐在那个东西里面飞到半个地球那么远。他说其实过了一个河也不可以吗？你讲的要讲的合理一点。
Now let's suppose we talk about a prophet 2,000 years ago.
假如我们在讲一位先知大概2000年前的事。
And he has shown this box in the air with 300 people in it, and he looked at it, and he said, what is this?
假如他看见天空上有一个这样子的一个铁箱坐着300多个人，他会说这个到底是什么事？
Now you know what an aeroplane is, but the prophet has never had a clue what an aeroplane is.
那你知道飞机是怎么样的，可是先知那个时候是不知道。
Now supposing this savage who heard you talk about this thing flying in the air goes to the other savages and said, you know there is something out there that flies in the air. Can you imagine what they think of this savage?
那你想，假如这个野蛮的人跟另外一个人也想同样的东西，那你想另外一个人对他的看法会是怎么样的呢？
Doesn't make any kind of sense.
根本是一点都不合理的。
Or you tell him somebody can pick up a little thing here which has no wires or anything and talks to another person on the other side of the world and he is yakking away talking to the other. Come on, talk some sense. This is ridiculous.
那你说你拿起这个小的东西啊，我们叫做流动电话，那它放在耳边可以好像没线的，又可以跟地球另外一边的人在讲话，他说这不知道是什么一回事了。
Now for those of us who do it regularly, which I do, it's nothing. But for a man who has never seen this before, supposing you supposed to describe this to somebody who has never heard of such a thing, he thinks you're out of your mind. And prophets will regard it as crazy, of course.
那好像我也常用这种东西，你们也会用。可是假如是先知根本没看过的去把描写这样子的东西，你想会有发生什么效果呢？
So there you are. When you look at the book of Revelation, you see a prophet trying to describe something in the future that frankly he himself doesn't understand and the hearer understands even less.
所以你想以启示录来说，那个先知在描写一些他自己不知道的事，是将来没看见过的事，他就有这么大的困难。
And this principle of prophecy means we must be very careful how we interpret prophecy.
这个原则就是提醒我们，假如我们要解释任何的预言，是多么的要谨慎。
Because it means that when we look at a prophecy, there is only one way to know that this is the case.
就是说我们要真的能够了解那个预言，只有一个办法。
It's when you actually see it, you can identify it. Ah, this is it.
是要等到你能够真的亲眼看见了，你就可以决定这个就是了。
You see, this savage could never be convinced until he actually is brought to an airport and he looks at this thing taking off into the air and he says,Oh, that's what the man was talking about. Now I understand.
就以那个野蛮的人来说，他要到飞机场去看见飞机起飞，里面真的可以坐那么多人，他看了他就会说，哦，那个原来是这样子的。
Not until it actually happens that you see it, then you know this is what he was talking about. This is the prophecy.
那一直要等到你亲眼看见了，那你就说，哦，我明白了，那个就是你所说的预言。
But before that, any attempt to identify the prophecy is going to be liable to error.
在这个之前，假如你要真的确定那个预言是不是真的，你就会有很大的问题，很大的困难。
I shall give an example of that in a moment.
我一会儿就举一个例子。
But there is a second principle about prophecy you must understand.
关于预言，另外还有第二个原则。
In order to avoid error.
就可以避免错误。
There is what we can call the principle of indeterminacy or uncertainty.
就是有一个非决定的一个原则。
When I speak of the principle of uncertainty, those of you who know some physics will know that I'm using a term from physics.
你们懂得物理的就知道我是用物理所说的那个非决定性质的一个原则。
This principle derives from quantum mechanics, back when Heisenberg in 1927, defined these principles.
就是 Heisenberg 在1927年定的那个
这些物理原则。
物理原则。量子的原则。
So what's happened here is that he discovered in physics that there is a principle, what he called simply the principle of uncertainty.There are certain things at that level of physics that you cannot determine with precision how it's going to work out.
以物理来说，物理学来说，就是有其中有一个成分，就是有一个不能够决定的原则。
This is very disturbing to scientists when they cannot predict with certainty the outcome of something.
对科学家来说是很不安的事，因为他们不可以。预定某一些的效果。
And in more recent time, you have what is called chaos, the idea of chaos in physics.
近来在物理学里面也有混沌那个理论。
Again, things that cannot be absolutely predicted because it will not repeat again in the same way as before.
因为有些东西是不能预定的，因为它不会重复。
But the God who created the world and its physics is the same God who gives us the prophecy.
可是那位创造世界的神也是给我们预言的神。
And that means that it is a mistake which many people make to try to predict, for example, the date when Jesus returns, as though it is fixed, it is absolutely certain.
所以假如要预定主耶稣再来的日子，这个就会是说错了。
In fact, we cannot even predict it within accuracy to 2 or 3 years, as close as that. Maybe not even 3 or 4 or 5 years.
其实我们不可以就是预定的靠近三五年的日子也不可以。
We cannot say, for example, the Lord is certainly going to come in the year 2005, three years from now.
我们不可以说主耶稣可能在2005年来还有三年的时间。
We can say maybe approximately around that time.
我们可以说大概可以是在那段时期。
In the Bible, you'll find this principle of indeterminacy very clearly, just as in physics.
在圣经里面，这个非决定性的原则是常见的，就好像在物理学一样。
It is like what the Lord Jesus spoke about in Matthew 23:32.
就是好像主耶稣在马太福音23:32所说。
We don't have time to read, but I ask you to look at it. It says,Fill up the measure of sin, or fill up the measure. There is a measure of sin, or wickedness.
那主耶稣说，就是要使罪的满盈，就是要把它充满。
Now God's judgment comes when that measure of sin or wickedness has reached a certain level. Then comes the judgment.
主耶稣再来就是到罪已经是。满了，好像在量器里面装满了一样。
So you can see the level of sin rising, and is coming to the point where the judgment is going to come.
那你就看见罪一直在充满，到满到一个地步，主就会再来了。
It's like boiling water, the measure. When it reaches boiling point, that's when the water will boil. And if it's kept under pressure, it will explode.
就好像你煮开水一样，到水快要到滚的水滚的那个水那个温度的时候，你假如再让它继续下去，它就会爆炸起来的。
But now if the boiling point is at this level, and it's going to reach the boiling point, and somebody turns down the fire, then what happens? The temperature drops without reaching boiling point.
假如到水差不多要滚的时候，你把那个温度降低的时候，它就会慢慢的温度里面降低，它就不滚了。
So again, for example, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, it speaks about the sin of the Amorites. God is going to judge the Amorites, but not yet. He waits until the measure has been reached, the boiling point is reached, then will be the judgment.
好像在创世纪第十五章，主耶稣上帝说 ，Amorite 他们的民族的罪，假如充满了，神就会的刑罚他们。
And later on, we do find in the scripture saying that the judgment of the Amorites had come. In other words, they had reached the level of boiling point, and the judgment comes.
到后来我们知道 ，Amorite 他们的罪的确是到好像要滚的那个。程度的时候，主的审判就临到他们了。
And so here we have this principle by which we know when there is a judgment coming if it reaches boiling point.
这个就是我们明白的原则，到罪要充满到好像是你煮水的那个到滚的要水滚的那一个程度的时候，主就会再来。
But there are many factors because.As we said, the temperature can go up, or you could cause it to drop.
里面有很多的因素，就是说你可以把那个温度升高或者是降低。
A very well-known example, of course, is the case of Jonah in relation to Nineveh.
很明显的另外一个例子就是约拿，他就是有关尼尼微 那件事。
The judgment was going to come upon that city.
本来神的审判会临到尼尼微那个城。
But what happened?
结果怎么呢？
The Ninevites repented in dust and ashes.
结果尼尼微人他们都悔改了。
The boiling point was about to be reached for judgment. What happened? They fell off the fire.
差不多他们已经到审判好像是水滚那个热度的时候，那么他们悔改，就把那个温度降低了。
And what happened was Jonah was so upset, right? Because he wanted to see the judgment come, and then they go and repent of all things and spoil his prophecy.
那结果约拿就不高兴，因为他的所说的没有应验，因为尼尼微人他们悔改了。
What happened in September 11th? Do you remember?
那911那件事发生，你记得吗？
After that event, the churches were full. Everybody goes and prays to the Lord.
那件事情事发之后，很多人到教堂里面去祷告了，去寻求神了。
Suddenly there is an outpouring of repentance.
忽然之间有很大的悔改。
So it's going to reach a boiling point and the temperature comes down. And if you're a prophet, you're frustrated. When is the Lord going to come at this rate if they keep repenting? Please stop repenting so that Jesus can come.
假如你是先知的时候，可能你会者回说，不要悔改了，因为这样子你继续悔改的时候，神的审判就不来了。那到底我说的预言就没有应验了。
You see, there is where the servant of God is caught between two extremes, two possibilities.
所以主的仆人常常就是在这两个极端当中。
On the one hand, he would like Jesus to come, or he wants Jesus to come.
在一方面，他很想望主耶稣的再来。
He has that slogan, Maranatha, Lord, come back.
就是他有个口号，就是说主快快来。
But on the other hand, he also wants people to repent.
可是另一方面，他也想别人能够悔改。
But these two are going to affect each other in such a way that it's going to delay the Lord's coming, as it were.
这两个是彼此的影响，就会使得主耶稣的再来延迟了。
And that means those of us who said, you know, Jesus may be coming next year or in 2 years' time are going to be proved wrong, just like Jonah was wrong.
那假如我们中间有人说主耶稣两三年之后会来，可能到时候又好像是讲错了。
And now you know why Jonah was running away when the Lord said, go and tell Nineveh to repent. He said, I don't want them to repent. I want them to perish. I'm going off in the other direction.
所以你知道为什么约拿那个时候他就逃避了到另外一个方向去，因为他就是说不想尼尼微人悔改了。
You may say, what kind of a prophet is this? He has no love.
那你说那是一个这样子的先知，他好像没有爱心。
Don't forget, Nineveh was the country, the nation that persecuted Israel to extinction.
不要忘记尼尼微城，他们尼尼微人就是逼迫以色列人的灭亡的一个城市。
He wanted to see justice done to the enemies of God's people.
所以约拿就是要看主怎么对付以色列的敌人。
But the problem is that God is always too merciful. That He's going to delay and delay this judgment.
可是神总是那么满有怜悯，所以他一直在延迟着。
Now let me come quickly to the matter of identification, identifying the events.
那让我快快地讲到怎么能够肯定确定某些事情的真实。
I limit to very briefly to 3 points.
简单的我提三点。
And the first of these is how the September 11th event helps us to understand better things that we didn't understand before.
就是说911的事发可以帮助我们明白一些以前我们不能明白的事。
In other words, in prophecy, September 11th is a very important event, as you might expect.
以预言来说911的事是一个很重要的事件。
Let me give you the first example of this.
我举第一个例子。
In the book of Revelation, it says that in the last days before the Lord returns,Everybody will receive a mark, either in the forehead or in the hand.
在启示录里面讲到，在主耶稣再来之前，每一个人会受到一个印记，或者在手上，手上，或者是在你的额上。
But that didn't make a lot of sense in the past.
对以前来说，这种的讲法好像是没什么意思。
We could imagine maybe some circumstance where it might, but it was very hard to imagine such a circumstance.
我们可以想象在某种情况之下可能会用得着，可是好像是想不到有什么情况。
But after September 11th, the picture now becomes quite easy to understand.
可是911事发之后就很容易就想到有这个可能性。
Why is this the case?
为什么呢？
Well, because now there is a war against terrorism.
现在就是要抵抗那些善恐怖主义的人。
And now there is a realization that you need only a small handful of terrorists to cause worldwide chaos.
那现在我们也知道，只要几个能够恐怖散播恐怖主义的人，就会搞乱整个世界的。
And exactly how are you going to identify a terrorist?
那你怎么能够把他们认出来呢？
What way can you find to do it?
你怎么做呢？
There is only one way.
只有一个方法。
Absolute identification of every individual.
只可以一个仔细完整的认同可以认定每一个人。
Because a terrorist can only function if his identity is disguised.
因为那个散播恐怖分子的人，他们假如把他们的身份遮掩了，他们就可以做他们的事。
Then he can slip through the security.
他可以就这样子透过任何的
安全设备。
So
he changed their faces.
他把他的容貌改变了。
They may use external or even surgery to change their appearance.
他们可以外面改变，或者是用手术来改变他们的相貌。
You know, most of them had false identifications.
他们也有假的身份证。
So in other words, a small group of people will hold the whole nation, indeed the whole world, to ransom.
他就是说，要几个人就可以把整个世界。人类掌握在他们的权里面了。
So the only way is absolute identification of every person.
所以唯一的做法就是完整的认定每一个人的身份。
That is the point of the mark.
这就是那个印记的需要。
For the sake of your security, they will be told, you will be told, you need to have carry an identification.
为了你的安全，他们就说你需要带这个印记。
Now not an identification of a piece of paper.
不是说带一张纸来作证。
Because a piece of paper can be stolen, taken by somebody else, and used so often false passport, false identifications.
那纸张是不可靠的，很容易就撕掉，给人偷了。
But if the identification is a mark on you, that is all a small microchip is inserted in your skin, every detail about you is in that microchip.
那假如那个印记是Microchip 什么？
再另一个。
Microchip， 对不起，不知道中文叫什么，就把你所有的资料都藏在那里面了。
It can be implanted in the skin in just less in a fraction of a second. Boom, and it's in your skin. It doesn't hurt. Nobody can see it. It's not going to spoil your face.
第二一秒钟，他就把这个 microchip 放进你的皮肤下面。
And then they can see as you walk past, they don't even have to stop you, they can see exactly who you are.
那他们有仪器，你就走过他们就可以知道你是谁。
Don't be surprised if one of these days you go into the United States, they're going to require you to have a microchip put in your skin so that you will not change your ID when you get into the US.
那不要惊奇，可能有一天你到美国去的时候，他们是要求你要有这样子 microchip 的东西在你的身上，不然的话就难以入境了。
As a matter of fact, every first world country will probably use this technology because it already exists. It's just waiting to be implemented.
可能将来每一个国家也会有这样子的设备才给你入境。
In fact, in the long term, it'll be very convenient because you don't even have to carry a credit card. It's already in the microchip.
那将来你什么卡都不需要带了，因为你所有的都是在 microchip 里面有资料了。
So no danger, you don't have to be afraid that your American Express or whatever card will be stolen.
你不需要担心你任何的信用卡假如撕掉也无所谓。
Because when you go to the shop to buy something, they will just take from your microchip all your credit card material.
假如你买东西，他们一切的资料从你的 microchip 里面都可以得到了。
It's just scan, just like that, just like you buy a thing, it's scan it over the, over the machine.
就是好像你买东西这样子数秒一样的就可以了。
Very good benefits, because for example, if you are diabetic, you have to hang a label around your neck, it's very inconvenient.
好像你假如有糖尿病的时候，你要带某一个牌子。通知别人你是有这个病，以后什么都不需要带了。
You go into the hospital, they know right away all your past medical history is right there.
你将来到医院去的时候什么都不需要带了，因为你所有那个病的历史、以前的状况完全都有记录了。
So when you travel, you don't need a passport, you don't need anything.
你旅游的时候不需要护照，什么都不需要。
But that's also the way you'll be controlled.
那也是你要被控制的一个方法。
It sounds very convenient, and that's the selling point of it.
当然，这样子就是一个出口是非常好的，是很方便。
But now on that little microchip can be put the information about where you stand politically.
那个 microchip 里面也可以有资料提到你政治方面的。观点立场是什么？
If you spent some years in prison or in labor camp, it'll all be on the microchip.
那假如你是坐牢了或者是劳改了，一切的资料都会在那儿。
If you are右派左派 whatever you are, it's all on the microchip.
你属于哪一派都会在，所有资料都在那儿。
Now you can see what the potential for such a thing is.
所以你知道那个危险。到什么程度？
And yet it will be inevitable.
可是这个是一定会发生的事。
Because there's no other way to control terrorism.
因为没有其他的方法可以控制那些善恐怖分子的事。
You see, only in this way, not one drop, not one enemy can get into the border without having been checked on his microchip.
唯有这样子，所有的敌人都过不了那个边境。
The present technology will be redundant. The newest technology will be out of date.
现在最新的技巧都会过去。
One of the newest technologies, of course, is photographic identification by computer.
现在就是有电脑能够好像是像拍照一样的能够照你一个像。
When you enter the airport, you don't know that you're already photographed.
你进飞机场的时候，你不知道已经被他们拍了照。
And somebody is checking your picture with known terrorists.
有人已经以你的照片来对照那些恐怖分子的照片。
Now the disadvantage of that, of course, is that they need to have a database because they need to know all the pictures of terrorists, and you can always have new terrorists that are not on your database.
那么他们肯定需要有个中心，所有的。恐怖分子的资料都是在那儿，不然就不可以对比了。
But with a microchip on every person, later on, as soon as you are born, that material is put in there and updated all the time because it can be updated, of course.
那将来可能一个婴孩一出生的时候已经有这个 microchip， 每一年每一次发生什么事可以继续的加上去。
So in the book of Revelation, chapter 13.Verses 16 and 17, which again we don't really have time to read. I have to race on.
所以在启示录第十三章16-17节，我没时间念了。
There it speaks about the mark, and there are many times the mark is referred to in Revelation.
这里跟启示录别的地方也讲了好多次这个印记这件事。
Now try to think back 2,000 years to the time of the Apostle John.
那假如你尝试想一想2000年前在使徒约翰的时期
It takes 2000 years for us even to understand what the mark is about.
已经需要2000年这么长的时间我们才能够开始明白这个印记的可能性意思是什么。
It's amazing that the prophet 2000 years ago said the day is coming when that will happen. But in his time,
It made no sense whatever.
在使徒的时代，他已经预告了这个事会发生。你想，根本那个时候怎么幻想也不能想到有这样子的事。
But now, especially after September 11th, we begin to see not only the technology as possible, because it already exists for quite a few years, but that now we see why it needs to be done.
那原来911之后，我们知道，不然不单止他们的技巧其实已经存在，现在我们也知道有这个需要。
Let's take another thing quickly, the second example.